Heat Seekers, welcome to episode 145 of Sully's Two Cents Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host. I am Rob Sullivan. Well, it's a busy time over here at Roto Heat. We are currently putting out a bunch of player profile videos and related articles. Brad Menendez is grinding it out over on YouTube with video after video. This offseason, I wrote a 50 articles in 50 days series, the top 50 series, which highlighted the current top 50 in Dynasty ADP. And now I'm currently, in addition to recording these podcasts, the Buy, Sell, Take a Flyer series, working on my redraft rankings. Now, ultimately, rankings are controversial. Everyone will always have a problem with who you have ranked as quarterback 5 or running back 6 or wide receiver 9. The reality is, none of us really know what we're doing. We're having a little bit of fun and we're making educated guesses. To get upset and to fight with people over their rankings is ridiculous. Now look, I'd like to think that you're listening to this because you value my opinion and you're looking for a little bit of fantasy football advice. If you are, thank you. I listen to a few podcasts myself, mainly in the offseason, as the time during the season is a little tight. But I listen to two podcasts in particular. I listen to JJ Zacharyson in the Late Round podcast, and I listen to Paul Charchian's Fantasy Football Weekly. I take from those what I like, and I use it for my own fantasy purposes. I guess the point of this rambling is, regardless of whose rankings you're looking at, regardless of what podcast you might be listening to, don't lose sight in the fact that you're building your fantasy roster. Until I start paying your league dues, I shouldn't be telling you what to do. I can give you some advice, but it is ultimately up to you, the fantasy manager, to decide how you want to navigate through the information that you're seeing, reading, and listening to. Your fantasy roster is a roster that you're going to be tweaking for at least 16 weeks this season. Put players on it you like. Put players on it you think are going to have a chance to give you a win, regardless of what any so-called fantasy experts suggest. All right, today is another episode of the Buy, Sell, Take a Flyer series. Episode 145 is going to take us through the AFC South. Just a reminder before I get too into this, in the 8-part Buy, Sell, Take a Flyer series, I utilize ADP to identify a player that I'm buying, a player that I'm selling, and a player that I'm going to take a flyer on off of each roster. The buying and selling have really nothing to do with my opinion of the player and everything to do with my perceived value of that player versus their current average draft position. Now, the flyers, these are my gut feels on players deeper down in ADP that you're likely going to select in the later rounds of your drafts, or perhaps in some cases, they're even guys that you'll find on your league's waiver wire. So we'll start off the trip through the AFC South with the Houston Texans. The player I'm buying off the Houston Texans is wide receiver Brandon Cooks. His overall ADP is 88. He's coming off the board at wide receiver 36. So sorting through the Houston Texans depth chart for a player that I want to buy is not the easiest task that I have had. This team looks to be the favorite to be picking first overall next spring. There are holes all over this team on both sides of the football. But with that being said, Brandon Cooks jumps out to me as the obvious buy off this roster. I get that Tyrod Taylor or perhaps even Davis Mills will be the Texans' quarterbacks this season. I'm also fully aware that that is likely not a good thing. Here's the deal. The worst passing offense in the NFL last season, the Baltimore Ravens, completed 257 passes for 2,919 yards. As bad as Houston is, there will be some offensive production, and I believe that most of it's going to flow through Brandon Cooks. When healthy, Cooks is a legit NFL talent. In his 7 NFL seasons, Cook has a top 12 season, 4 top 24 seasons, a top 36 season on his resume. So drafting him at wide receiver 36 in the 7th round is an absolute value in my opinion, and I'm going to buy. The player I'm selling off the Houston Texans is running back David Johnson, overall ADP of 84. Coming off the board is running back 32. Now, I've been a David Johnson fan and supporter for years. I was high on him last year, but hey, that support ends here. Johnson has shown in recent season that the burst he once had is gone. The offensive line he is playing behind certainly doesn't help much either. Outside of Laremy Tunsil, there's really nothing here. Adding to my dislike is the Texans' depth chart. Joining David Johnson in the backfield in Houston this season is Philip Lindsay, Mark Ingram, and Rex Burkhead. I don't really like any of them. And I certainly don't see any giving us any fantasy-relevant production on a weekly basis. I'm passing on all Houston Texans running backs this season, and gun to my head, if I had to roster one of them, it would be Philip Lindsay, who has an ADP of 160, and he's the RB49. The player off the Houston Texans I'm going to take a flyer on is rookie wide receiver Nico Collins. Overall ADP is 272, coming off the board as wide receiver 83. Simply put, Houston almost certainly will have to throw the ball to have a sniff in any of their 17 games in 2021. If you have to roster a Texan, I suggest it's in the passing game. Nico Collins' college quarterbacks failed to take advantage of the mismatch he presents, and the Michigan team's identity certainly wasn't feeding their wide receivers. Collins is a breakout candidate and someone I expect to be much better as a professional wide receiver than he was a collegiate one. Nico Collins has size and a second gear needed to gain separation and win the battle on contested catches. Make no mistake, there will be a lot of contested catches in the Houston offense this season. Now look, arguably, Nico Collins is more of a dynasty league target, but he's currently priced as undrafted, and he's another player that should exceed his ADP with ease. Like I said, the Baltimore Ravens were the worst team in football last year throwing the ball, and they had 2,919 receiving yards. As high as I am on Brandon Cooks, he's not getting all of them, and Nico Collins should help him in that area. So take the flyer on Nico Collins. Moving on to the Indianapolis Colts, the player I'm buying is Michael Pittman Jr. Overall ADP is 107, wide receiver 43 currently. When the Indianapolis Colts opted to not add any significant pass catchers to this offense, it indicated that they're comfortable rolling with the guys that they have. And the best of the bunch is Michael Pittman Jr. Pittman enters his second season as a potential breakout candidate and should be drafted as the first Colts wide receiver off the board. As a rookie, Michael Pittman earned the trust of the coaching staff and played 92% of the snaps in week two and consistently played 80% or more of the snaps after coming back off of the IR in week eight. We saw glimpses of his upside, especially with his 5-catch, 90-yard performance in the Colts' playoff loss to the Buffalo Bills. I suspect that Carson Wentz's injury drives down Michael Pittman's ADP even further than it is, just adding to the potential draft day value. Michael Pittman will emerge as the top option for the Colts quarterback, regardless of the name on their jersey, and because of that, I will be buying. The player I'm selling, and it honestly is a very reluctant sell, is running back Jonathan Taylor, whose current ADP is 8, and he's coming off the board at running back 7. Jonathan Taylor is a really good running back, but I think Jonathan Taylor is slightly overvalued. Not in terms of his running back rank, but in terms of his overall ADP of 8. Now, Jonathan Taylor went on an absolute tear down the stretch and was running back 1 from weeks 13 through 17. He averaged 26.1 PPR points a game. I believe of significance were his opponents. The Colts faced the Houston Texans twice, Las Vegas, Pittsburgh, and Jacksonville. All of them ranked in the bottom third of the league in rushing yards allowed. Jonathan Taylor will enter 2021 as the top option in Indy, and he is one of few backs with the potential to challenge for the number one overall spot if he earns a larger role in the Colts passing game. Carson Wentz's injury hurts. Quentin Nelson's injury hurts him even more. I like Jonathan Taylor, I really do. But like I said, I don't like his ADP of 8, and I just can't pull the trigger. Truth be told, I have him ranked as my 7th RB, but further down in overall ADP. If for some reason Jonathan Taylor falls into the second round or even into the middle of the second round, he changes his value to me and he becomes an absolute buy without question. And the player I'm taking a flyer off of the Indianapolis Colts is wide receiver Paris Campbell. His overall ADP is 229 and he's the 73rd wide receiver coming off the board. So since the Colts selected Paris Campbell 59th overall in 2019, Campbell has managed to play 9 games. 9 games. In 2020, it was a knee injury suffered in the second game of the year that kept him out for the remainder of the season. I still think somewhere is the guy that we saw at Ohio State who had 90 catches, 1,063 yards, and 12 touchdowns in his senior season. Unfortunately, we just haven't gotten to see enough of him in the NFL to gauge his true potential. He should go undrafted in most leagues, as his ADP would indicate. He could be worth a late-round flyer in deeper leagues as a post-hype sleeper, so that's what I'm banking on when I take the flyer here. Next up is the Jacksonville Jaguars. The player I'm buying off the Jaguars is wide receiver Laviska Shenault, overall ADP 110, wide receiver 45. Laviska managed to do something in Jacksonville last season that he struggled to do at Colorado, and that was stay healthy. Shenault appeared in 14 of the Jags' 16 games, and he totaled 691 yards on 76 touches. That was good enough for a wide receiver 46 finish. He can do a bit of everything, but he's especially dangerous with the ball in his hand. So you have to think that Coach Urban Meyer will find more ways to get him more opportunities. You know, think Percy Harvin or Curtis Samuel at Ohio State. With Trevor Lawrence as his quarterback, the quality of passes he's seeing should be better than those that came from Gardner Minshew. He's going to have to compete with DJ Chark, Travis Etienne, and Marvin Jones for targets, but it would not surprise me at all if Shenault emerged as a number one option rather quickly in this offense. If you can get Shenault where he's currently priced, he could prove to be one of the best values in fantasy football, and as a result, I am absolutely buying him here. The player I'm selling off of the Jacksonville Jaguars is wide receiver DJ Chark, overall ADP of 78, wide receiver 33. So full disclosure, I have never been a fan of DJ Chark as a fantasy asset. In his three seasons, Chark has delivered us a wide receiver 142, a wide receiver 17, and a wide receiver 49 season. Now, obviously the wide receiver 17 season is the beacon that gets the attention here. The interesting part of that wide receiver 17 finish in 2019 was the split. He was wide receiver 5 in the first half of the season and wide receiver 47 in the second half of the season. I'll let you all decide which is the outlier. Chark should be better with Trevor Lawrence throwing him the ball, and he did show flashes with subpar quarterback play a season ago. However, with the up-and-comer Laviska Shenault and new addition of Marvin Jones competing with targets, not to mention the addition of Travis Etienne, Chark is no sure thing to be the number one or even the number two option in Jacksonville's offense this season. I see that offense being pretty run heavy given how Urban Meyer's teams operated in college. DJ Chark absolutely carries 1,000 plus receiving yard upside, and he could be a big bounce back candidate this season, and I could be totally wrong, but I'm betting that I'm not, and I'm betting against that. And as a result, I would feel much better with him as my wide receiver 4 on draft day, and at this ADP, I'm selling without hesitation. And the player I'm taking a flyer on in Jacksonville Jaguars is wide receiver Marvin Jones Jr., overall ADP of 135, coming off the board as wide receiver 51. It seems like year after year, Marvin Jones is a value on draft day. It also seems like year over year, Marvin Jones outperforms his ADP. 2021, in my opinion, is likely to be more of the same. Jones did sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars this offseason, and he's probably a boom-bust number three receiver who's best drafted as a number four receiver if you're seeking a positive return on your draft investment. But Marvin Jones Jr. has major upside. He scored 38 PPR points in week 17 last year. He topped 25 points in three other games. He also has a four-score game on his 2019 resume. At the same time, Jones has also been held below 50 yards in more than half of the games he's played in the last two seasons. Marvin Jones is at an age where we could start to see a decline. What I see for Marvin Jones in 2021 is a mentorship role for the likes of Chark and Shenault, and in my opinion, he's a safe wide receiver to take a flyer on this late in your draft. And we're going to wrap this bad boy up with a look at the Tennessee Titans. We'll start it off with the player I'm buying, and it's none other than wide receiver Julio Jones, who has an overall ADP of 40, and he's coming off the board at wide receiver 14. On paper, Julio Jones being traded to the Titans may seem like a bad fit for his fantasy value, but I believe that the opposite is true. Ryan Tannehill has been a more efficient deep ball thrower and a more efficient overall quarterback than Matt Ryan has since he took over the starting job for Tennessee. The Titans are also an excellent system fit for Julio Jones. Julio should be able to eat up the intermediate areas of the field with the second level defenders forced to focus and pay attention to running back Derrick Henry. Julio Jones has averaged 9.8 targets, 121 air yards, and 18.6 PPR fantasy points per game in his soon-to-be Hall of Fame career. The Titans have 224 vacant targets and a whopping 2,143 air yards available in the 2021 season. Julio is also not this wildly injury-prone wide receiver either. That talk, in my opinion, is straight up ridiculous. Drafted as the second wide receiver off the board behind A.J. Green in 2011, Jones has played in at least 14 games in 7 of his 10 seasons. The other 3 were 13 in his rookie season, 5 in 2013, and 9 a season ago. In those 7 seasons in which he's played at least 14 games, he has 7 top 12 finishes. Wide receiver 14 might be high for some, but I feel he is appropriately valued here, and as a result, I am buying. The player I'm selling is running back Derrick Henry, overall ADP of 3, coming off the board as running back 3. Man, I've written and podcasted a lot about Derrick Henry this offseason. Back in episode 140, I told you why you should sell him in Dynasty. And in episode 141, my hot takes episode, my hot take was that Derrick Henry will finish 2021 as a mid to back end RB2. Do I feel as though he'll really be a low RB2? No, not really. But I absolutely have no interest in Derrick Henry at third overall. He finished third in PPR scoring in 2020, and he will almost certainly go off the board within the first 6 picks in all drafts of any format this season. He has at least 380 carries in his last 2 seasons, including the postseason. So it's fair to wonder if he's going to break down at some point. Even though we haven't seen it yet, I believe it's coming, and I believe it's coming as soon as this season. Henry rushed for 2,000 yards last season. He became the 8th running back in league history to do so. The previous 7 all saw a significant decline in total yards and yards per carry the following season, and 5 of those 7 backs missed time due to injury. I know the public thinks that Derrick Henry is different, and I'm rather confident that they felt that way about the other 7 members of this elusive club as well. I am selling Derrick Henry at an ADP of 3 without hesitation. And I'm taking the flyer on Darrelton Evans, overall ADP of 222, coming off the board as running back 63. The Titans spent a 3rd-round pick on Evans in the 2020 draft. Taking a running back on day 2 matters because it dramatically increases the odds that he will eventually become relevant in that team's offense. That seemed to indicate that Evans would be the primary backup to Derrick Henry. Naturally, if I feel Henry experiences regression in 2021, I also feel that Evans is a benefactor. There's an opportunity for him to be the backup to Derrick Henry, as well as a very reliable weapon in the Titans' passing game, which could make Evans a potentially valuable fantasy option. He isn't worth much more of a late-round flyer and as a potential lottery ticket, and that's a flyer that I'm willing to take. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you've yet to subscribe to the Sully's 2 Cents Fantasy Football Podcast, you can do so by searching for it pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. In addition, you can find me on Twitter at RotoHeatSully. I'm in the RotoHeat Dynasty Fantasy Football community and the RotoHeat Redraft Fantasy Football community over on Facebook. And you can find me at Sully on our Discord channel as well. Don't forget to join Brad Menendez and I every Tuesday night over on the RotoHeat YouTube channel as we bring you the Dynasty Heat Seekers each and every Tuesday night at 9:30. I'm going to be back later on this week with episode 146 as we take another journey through another division in the NFL and I identify my buy, sell, and flyers off of each roster. Until then, Heat Seekers, stay safe and stay healthy. Take care.